T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ricky is obviously a fantastic baseball man.
I'm not going to appeal to the sabermetrician.
I think all my teams are good.
My personal opinion, they should have got rid of Renteria. From day one, I couldn't stand him as a manager. I really wish he would just get somebody else already.
If they don't like it, I don't really give a
Joe Ostrowski.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Night 6 to 10.
That being said, I hate Joe Ostrowski.
So what are they doing, Joe? What are they doing?
On 670, The Score.
What they're doing White Sox things, and people are shocked that they're being the White Sox when nothing has really changed at the very top. Stop being the White Sox. You know what team you're a fan of, right? Like, you've been monitoring what they've been doing your entire life as a baseball fan at 35th and Shields, right? And people are, oh my god, they're gonna hire Jerry's friend. Yeah, once you're in the circle, you're in the circle for life. I can't believe it. What are they doing? I don't care for it either. Good evening. Joe Ostrowski with you. Sports Radio 670, The Score. I don't, if it were to happen, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but it wouldn't derail everything that the organization has accomplished. Just kind of reaffirms a lot of things that we've been thinking about this team. Like, yeah, like Rick Hahn, like the moves he's made. Is he really in charge? And that's how it's always going to be. That's how it's going to be when you have losses. So a lot of coverage of that. Can't wait to talk to Scott Miller, get his perspective. He's always fantastic. He will join me at 6:30. Evan Silva from EstablishTheRun.com. He's always got some fiery takes about the Chicago Bears. We'll talk to him at 7:20 and about the rest of the league. A bunch of fun stuff. 9 o'clock Score Rewind right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score here for the next 4 hours, so make sure you hang out. Executive producer is Jordan Malley. I am on Twitter at Joe0670, at Joe0670. If you want to chime in at any time, phone lines open, text lines open 24/7 here at 670. The Score, the number to connect there, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. So, we got into it a little bit. Let's continue with Rick Renteria. Bob Nightingale on the station earlier today, if you've been paying attention to what Bob Nightingale has been reporting, is that the White Sox plan to reach out to Tony La Russa. Is this real? I don't know. I would think it is, just because of the history there, because of the friendship with the guy that's making the decision, which people want to forget about. He thinks it's going to be his last chance to see a championship with his favorite team that he owns, the White Sox. So you think Jerry Reinsdorf's not going to get involved? Any major decision, it goes to Jerry, man. It goes to Jerry. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. And none of us should be shocked. None of us should be. And yeah, if this were to happen, it is not a Rick Hahn decision. We understand that. But could you be okay with it if that's the move that is made? And the crux of that is, what do you think the value of a manager is? What is their importance? I think they matter. Others in the game think they don't matter so much. But I believe the biggest duties of a manager is to be the face of the organization for the most part. They're going to talk to the media before and after every single game. And it is a young roster, and I know you're thinking the face of the organization, Joe, should be all the stars, players that they have. Yeah, but they won't have to deal with the media as much to communicate with the fan base. But if you bring in Tony La Russa, won't love it, but I don't think it would kill everything. So one of the most important duties, obviously the manager, obviously communicating with the media and the atmosphere that they create in the clubhouse. Does Tony La Russa have a history of his players hating him? Think about that. Is this an upgrade going from Rick Renteria, Tony La Russa, or is it a lateral move? You have to consider that. Now, if we take a step further, the story by Daryl Van Skouwen in the Sun Times was terrific. And it was the issue that was going on between Renteria and Hahn at the end was about the lack of use of in-game analytics. Probably part of the reason Don Cooper is no longer here. And I think you can look to some of the pitchers on the team for that reason as well. But what if you bring in La Russa and there isn't a team that is ready to hire Hinch as soon as he is available to become a manager? How many changes are there going to be? Not sure. Maybe the commissioner has said he suspended 1 year, but please don't make him a manager as soon as it's the 2021 baseball season. Let's kind of break him in as a bench coach. How about doing that? Maybe that's been discussed behind the scenes. Would you hate a combination of Tony La Russa as the manager, kind of the face, has all the media duties? I don't even know that Tony La Russa would be interested, but we're hearing from multiple national baseball guys that are saying if he wants it, it's his job. He's the number one candidate. And we'll get to one who's on the score earlier today, who broke the news of this a couple of days ago now. But if you have La Russa as the manager and the guy making the in-game decisions using a lot of the data that you've compiled as an organization that you like to look at, what if it's Hinch? What if it's Cora? What if it's Joe Espada, the guy that was the hot name not too long ago? Now nobody's talking about him, and you understand why. What if that's his right-hand man? He said, Tony, this is how it's going to work. Like, you're going to deal with the media. You're going to get all the credit for all the wins that we're going to rack up this year. Look what we did in year one. We really trying when we went into free agency and proved the ball club. And guess what? At the trade deadline, we're going to add. And it's all going to be on the Hall of Famer Tony La Russa. You're going to get so much credit. But here's the deal. Here's the working relationship that we want to have. And this is the guy we've pegged as your bench coach. And he's going to make some of those in-game decisions with you. You have final say. You're the manager. But we want him very involved. In fact, we're going to work closer with your bench coach because his job is so vital. How do you feel then? If it's Hinch or Cora or Espada, a name like that working as a bench coach with La Russa, is it the worst thing in the world? Is it really? And people are surprised Jerry Reinsdorf is considering bringing in a friend. Have you paid attention to the White Sox and or Bulls organizations over the last several decades? Have you done that? 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Jordan Malley, my executive producer tonight. Jordan, you're a big Bulls fan. You're a huge Sox fan, so you understand how Jerry Reinsdorf operates. The scenario that I just laid out there, how would you feel if it's Hinch, Cora, Espada, a name like that, that is big in analytics, that has World Series experience along with La Russa, would that be the worst thing in the world?
I don't think the analytics thing would really bother me. I want a manager that's actually going to implement that. But then it goes back to, I was just asking Herb Lawrence this about an hour ago. I said, how are you going to feel as a Sox fan if they win the World Series and your manager's Cora or it's Hinch? And you know they were tied to cheating. And you know that's going to be a stain. And it's going to be something everybody always talks about and associates the Sox with. Even if he'd had a slight involvement in the cheating
scandal. Jordan, aren't we already there because Dallas Keuchel's on the roster?
That's true. That's a good point. I guess if you start to add more pieces, but you know the way they talked about Cora being kind of a brain of this operation and bringing it to Boston too, like that bothers me as well. And then Hinch being regarded positively, and then on top of that though, like you made the Heat biggest mistake any manager could make is just oversee this and not say anything. But to your point about the Bulls, real quick,
yeah.
The funny thing is when you start to bring in dual managers like that, Renteria and LaRusso, it makes me think about Jim Boylan and Fred Hoiberg to an extent. Think about how much Jim Boylan undermined Fred Hoiberg at the end. And I know Renteria would be the guy out, but just creates a weird dynamic in the dugout, I feel like.
It does. I think it's a little different with baseball because this is normal practice, just leaning on your bench coach a whole bunch. And maybe the bench coach deals with the players more. But I don't – listen, would I prefer Bruce Bochy? Yes, I would. If he was willing to do it, absolutely, 100%. Would I prefer Ozzie? For my job, yes. Sign me up every single day. That would be so entertaining. Hinch would be the right move, an upgrade. I think Cora would. Espada's not going to get that move yet. It's going to take some more time. But maybe Major League Baseball doesn't want these guys being managers right away. Maybe that's been communicated from New York. It is certainly possible. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Joe Ostrowski with you, 670 the score. So Bob Nightingale was the first to report this story from the USA Today, and he was on the Lawrence Holmes show today. Anthony Heron sitting in for Lawrence. And he gave us some background on the LaRusso-Reinsdorf connection.
When at the winter meetings, you see them together. They constantly talk. Let's put it this way. In 2011, Tony La Russa had told very, very few people he planned to retire as manager after that season. He wins the World Series, and the celebration that night on the field, who's out there, is Jerry Reinsdorf, just to see this moment for Tony and what it meant to him. And I think, you know, in back of each of one's minds, I think Jerry had always thought, and Tony had always thought too, man, this is cool, but it would have been very cool to do it together.
Here's more of Nightingale with Heron on the fit of La Russa managing the team on the South Side.
Very smart guy, and, you know, he's like I said, he's still been in baseball even after retiring as manager. So he's well-versed in analytics, everything else. I mean, he pretty much invented the bullpen. I mean, it was his ideas to do the one-inning saves and setting things up like that. So a master at the bullpen management. You know, that's what cost Rick Renteria his job. So, you know, still sharp. I know people bring up his age. He's 76. Well, you know, the next president of the United States, you know, looks like he'll be 77 years old. He's running a country. Tony's just running a baseball team on the field.
Invented the bullpen. I love Bob. Hey, man, whatever he reports, you can say what you want, and you can talk about some of the reports that were wrong, but he's going on information. And if you've been paying attention to media at all, I know that's usually our job, and not everybody pays close attention to what certain beat reporters or national guys are reporting. There's a connection with Nightingale and the White Sox. It's been going on for a very, very long time, and all of us have ideas exactly where it's coming from. He's plugged in with the Sox. You cannot deny that. What about La Russa? It's been nearly a decade since he's managed. How about that?
La Russa, you know, had so much success, speaks fluent Spanish. So, you know, a bright guy. And, you know, he likes analytics too. I mean, he was doing the analytics stuff before it was even called that. And you know, all these guys are open to ideas. There's not a manager in baseball now, you know, that isn't embrace with the analytics, or at least listen to what the front office says. Even Bruce Bochy, at the end. I mean, there's guys that didn't come up that way, but everyone's, you know, taking that knowledge now and doing it, you know, combining it with their own savvy.
All right, here's one more of Nightingale with Anthony Heron sitting in for Lawrence Holmes earlier today, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Well, Bob, what if La Russa doesn't want the job?
I mean, A.J. Hinch, if it doesn't work out with Tony La Russa, A.J. Hinch is the guy. Of course, the cheating scandal, you know, haunts A.J. Hinch. Who knows if this is the end of it? You know, there's books coming out, there's documentaries. So, you know, that could, you know, provide some more information. So that would always be a fear as well. So, you know, obviously this team is built to win a championship right now. They were still to rebuild. Hey, this wouldn't be Tony La Russa's job. And this is the only job I think Tony La Russa would leave retirement for. He's been offered several jobs in the past years to come back as manager, has turned it down. But this is the only place he would consider.
USA Today's Bob Nightingale today on Sports Radio 670. The Score. By the way, Dan Bernstein was just beautiful today. And angry Dan B is the best Dan B. Like, Rick Hahn has to quit. Revolt. This is insane. It's just hilarious. It was cracking me up throughout the day. Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670. The Score. In 15 minutes, I'll be joined by Scott Miller of Bleacher Report. Want to get his thoughts on this. And also, what's happening in Major League Baseball? We might have a team advancing to the World Series this evening. Here's a quick update on what's going on in the NLCS. Dodgers desperately need a win to stay in this series against Atlanta. It's 12-0 in the second. 12-0. So, yeah, the win probability for the Dodgers, very high this evening. So they're going to make this a series. It would be then 2-1 in the best of seven NLCS. Craig and Schaumburg, you're on 670 The Score with Joe Ostrowski. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, I had to call. I lived in St. Louis for many, many of the Louis years up until the last one, to be honest. And that scenario you put out there where La Russa would be just handling the media and taking credit, that's never going to happen, my man. His least favorite part of the job was dealing with the media. Do a YouTube yes. search, ask any of the beat writers down there.
I remember a lot of the rants
about doing that job.
I remember a lot of the rants that would go viral. But it's a big part of the job. I mean, you don't take this job unless you're willing to do that.
Of course. But I think the scenario, if Tony La Russa is your manager, it's his team. Dave Duncan's his pitching coach. He leans on that. You know, if you read any of the books, you know, about how he managed, he really relied on a group of veterans to kind of handle the clubhouse. And he just did the daily stuff. Bob Nightingale is 100% correct. It wasn't called analytics back then. You know, he's been shifting since the 90s. It will be his team. It will be his ideas. It will be his views. And there could be somebody else in that bench, you know, giving him opinions. And I'm sure he would value those. But at the end of the day, he ain't playing second fiddle to anybody. And he sure isn't taking a job to just handle the media. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you even think at this stage in his life, he hasn't changed he changed it all. I don't even know, Craig. Are you a Sox fan?
Since I moved here, I definitely root more for the Sox. You know, I'm definitely a Cardinals fan first. But, I don't think we get older.
Do you want him managing one of your teams again or no?
I wouldn't hate it. You know, to me, you draw similarities with this young Sox team to those old Cardinals teams. I mean, Abreu is not Albert Pujols, but, you know, you have a really, really good all-star caliber player who is a veteran presence in the clubhouse who all those younger guys are going to listen up to. I think he's going to get the most out of Louis Robert that you're going to get out of any manager. I mean, look what he did with Jim Edmonds coming off of injuries. Same position, right? He turned Jim Edmonds into, you know, a really good player, had some injuries. Then all of a sudden he's pushing Hall of Fame level numbers once he gets to St. Louis and works with La Russa, right? I mean, sure. I wouldn't hate it. I don't know if it's the best option. You know, I mean, A.J. Hinch is intriguing, but you're going to get a really good defensive team. You're going to get a really disciplined ball club. The biggest problem you're going to have with La Russa is he's going to butt heads with somebody. When he first got in St. Louis, he ran Ozzie Smith out of town. Royce Clayton was his shortstop. If Moncada doesn't want to play hard, you're going to have him, you know, going at it with Moncada, and that might not work out well. I think that's the only downside you have with La Russa is going to be you're going to play his way or you're going to not play his way. And if you're not playing his way, it means you don't play. You know what I mean? And I don't think he cares about prospect rankings or anything like that. If you're not going to give your all and be fundamentally sound and play the game how he deems it is winning baseball, you're going to be on the bench or out of town really quick.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with the guy. Thank you, Craig. No, you're right. You're right. I get it. I wonder how much depends on how La Russa answers these questions in the conversations that he's apparently having with White Sox management. Does it even matter what he says? Because according to a lot of the national reporters, it sounds like it doesn't matter what he says. Job's his, if he wants it. Does he want to do it right now? It's got to be enticing. He's probably pretty bored. A guy, I know he's been involved in the game, but he hasn't managed in nearly a decade. Guy like that, a baseball lifer, probably kind of bored. He's looking at a very talented team right now. Oh, and you're going to add more to the rotation like you need? Or Kopech's going to come back? Something like that? Okay, I'm in. Oh, you're going to add it to trade deadline this time too, all right? Just double check, because I know Renteria was upset about that last year that you didn't. You were clearly going to be in the dance, but you didn't add. Are you going to do that? And the thing is, Rick Hahn can share his opinion, but he's not making the final call. He's not. It's Jerry, and it's probably Kenny in the office talking together. Decision. I mean, you know this. You may not want to believe it, but this is how it's going to go down. So to say that there's no way he's going to be the manager, really? Have you paid attention? Once you're in the circle, you're in the circle for as long as you want to be there. Whatever level of the organizations you want to talk about, we've seen it again and again and again with both of his teams in town. Hey, Jordan Malley, can you pull up Bruce Bochy? He was on KNBR Radio in San Francisco with the Murph and Mac show. Murph and Mac. Talking, and he was asked about, hey, there's an opening with a very talented team in Chicago that plays in the American League.
Now that you've had a year off, would you like to get back in?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss it, especially watching the postseason. I mean, it's exciting times. I could see it happening, to be honest, but it's not something right now. I'm pushing, when you've been in the game as long as I have and managed as long as I did, you're going to miss it. Especially watching these postseason games. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
But, Bruce, here's my leading radio guy question. Do you like deep dish Chicago pizza? Do you, Bruce?
You like Luis Robert?
Just a random question, Bruce. Just a random question.
I'm more of the South Beach pizza,
Amici's? Amici's, right?
Yeah.
Would you answer a call from the White Sox if they called?
I'd listen to anything. I can't say anything, but they're a good team. But I haven't talked to anybody. It hasn't been mentioned or anything until you just mentioned it, to be honest.
I'm on the phone right now with Bruce Bochy. If it hasn't already happened. By the way, Bochy, he's 11 years younger than La Russa. Like Jordan, Bochy 100 times over La Russa, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Just even, like, even my dad, who staunchly loved Tony La Russa when he was here, he even told me this morning, he's like, yeah, that's not the pick.
Dude, I'm old. I don't remember when La Russa was the manager here. I was too young.
Join the club. Like, it is crazy, man. It is crazy, yeah. But what's the world where he completely blows this up if he does become manager? In the things don't work out.
Whew. Jerry's last shot with a winning team. He's going to do what he wants. He already made it clear, no, not Ozzie, because that's why Rick Hahn was saying it. Come on now.
We know this. Who's going to stop Jerry? He says, this is my guy, and this is what's going to happen, and we're going to win a World Series with Tony La Russa as the manager. David, Michigan, you're on 670, The Score.
Hey, how you doing, David, Michigan? You know, I listened to Bob Nightingale, you know, on The Score earlier today, and he was, you know, kind of like bad-mouthing A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora about the, you know, about the cheating scandal for the World Series and that, and kind of like really whitewashing over Tony La Russa. But, you know, I'm a Sox fan for years and years and years, and I remember the winning ugly team, you know, that Tony managed. But here's the thing that I've got to say, one word, steroids. Tony was right in the middle of the steroid scandals with Oakland and St. Louis with Big Mac, you know, McGuire. So,
yep.
You know, Tony La Russa brings garbage with him, too.
No question. You're 100% correct. Cannot deny it for a second. And I don't care what he says. You really didn't know anything? Then you're a terrible manager. You don't know what's happening in your clubhouse. If he really had no idea what was going on with this team. Or he didn't have eyeballs. Or maybe he didn't want to face facts. Yes, multiple times, you are right. Here's the thing you've got to remember. Who are Nightingale sources? Is La Russa a source for Nightingale? If he is, if he wants to continue to break news on the White Sox, do you think he's going to upset Tony La Russa? Probably not. You kind of got to think about these different angles as well. Criticizing La Russa in public, Chicago radio, would that upset his sources with the White Sox? That's kind of the ugly stuff that you also have to think about. A lot of agendas out there. I think you've heard that lately. Whether we're talking about sports, news, whatever. So you got to take everything into account. Everything you said, Dave, you are absolutely correct. 100% agree with you there. Coming up next, looking forward to this conversation. Scott Miller is going to drop by from Bleacher Report. He never holds back on his opinions. I'm going to see if he's hearing the same thing about Tony La Russa going to the White Sox. Job is his if he wants it. That's what people are saying. Let's see if Scott Miller agrees. This is Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
He's a bulldog. He's a bulldog. I repeat, he's a bulldog.
Mutually decided that now was the right time to make the change in that position.
White Sox General Manager Rick Hahn meeting with the media the other day after Rick Renteria was fired. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score, keeping you updated on the NLCS. Okay, scoring is through the roof in the NFL over the first month of the season, and the Dodgers are going to score more runs tonight than probably half the teams in football have been averaging so far. It's the top of the third inning, and it's 15-0 Dodgers. Yeah, we're still in this series. Our buddy Scott Miller of Bleacher Report, he's covering the ALCS. He's out in San Diego, so he's been covering this series, which is fascinating, and it could wrap up tonight. And he joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you doing, Scott?
Real good, Joe. How about yourself, my friend?
Doing well. Well, the story this week, you would think this time of year with both teams out of the playoffs, the Cubs and Sox, that the 4-1 Bears would be the story. But the last few days, the White Sox have just been dominating all the headlines. Many surprised that they decided to fire Rick Renteria. But now the reports over the last couple of days, oh, people are very concerned that Jerry Reinsdorf is going to step in and hire his old buddy Tony La Russa.
Yeah, how about that one? Yeah, that came out of the blue. And, yeah, I know Bob Nightingale reported that in USA Today the other day. And, in fact, Bob's sitting near me out in San Diego. And it's kind of funny. He's a good friend of mine. And, came in the other day. His story hadn't been published. He said, you know, but we talked. I knew he was writing some on the White Sox. Bob said, you'll never guess who they're thinking about hiring. And I said, he said, it's kind of wild. And I said, all right. I said, Jim Tome? He said, nope. And then he said, La Russa. I was like, wow. Yeah. Obviously people know that Jerry Reinsdorf views allowing Ken Harrelson to fire La Russa way back in the early 80s as one of the biggest mistakes, probably the biggest mistake that Jerry's made while owning the White Sox. And whether all these years later he wants to rectify that mistake, or we also know Jerry is one of the most loyal owners mm-hmm. in all of sports. And, you know, if you're a friend of Jerry's, you know, you're a friend for life. And so whether it's he's looking to rectify an old mistake, or whether, you know, he and Tony have been so close over the years that he's thinking, you know, you only get a chance to live once, and I'd sure like Tony to manage my team. You know, it's hard to know yet what's going on there. But, you know, obviously, you know, I also thought, I see, you know, La Russa got permission from the Angels to interview with the White Sox. It's also, given a manager of La Russa's stripes, it's kind of comical. I was thinking about this actually driving into the ballpark today. It's kind of comical that a guy like that would quote unquote interview for a job, right? I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's won World Series, you know, multiple rings. It's almost like a guy like him, what do you mean interview? If you want to hire him, hire him. If you don't. But, you know, interview, I take that to mean it's going to be a two-way discussion, you know, where they're going to talk to him and he's going to maybe, you know, see, look, is this, I've been retired for X number of years. Is this something that could get my juices going?
No question, Scott. You're on it. I think it would be a two-way discussion, not so much an interview, because Reinsdorf has all the information that he would need on La Russa. Do you think he would be open to the idea of having a bench coach you rely on? Maybe not his choice as the bench coach, even though it's Hall of Famer, Tony La Russa, because the issue that they seem to have with Renteria, especially at the end, was the lack of in-game analytics being used. And I would guess that that's the kind of conversation that they want to have. Okay, are you going to use some of this information that we're going to be providing, because it's such a big part of the game and you haven't managed since 2011?
Yeah, I think... That I would assume that would be one of the topics of conversation, yes, is the analytics. Now, you know, Tony hasn't managed since 2011, but he's also, remember, he was a special assistant with the Diamondbacks. He worked in their front office and then with the Red Sox under Dave Dombrowski and now with the Angels. So I think over the years, he's become a lot more familiar with analytics. He maybe didn't manage using analytics, but he stayed involved in the game. And I think I know from talking to Tony myself over the, you know, whenever I'd bump into him at ballparks or at the playoffs or wherever it was over the last several years since he retired, you know, I know that in these organizations, as I say, the Diamondbacks, the Red Sox, the Angels, you know, he's paid attention to analytics. He's talked to the analytics departments with each team. You know, he's certainly assimilated some that part of the game. Now, it would be different if you're all of a sudden the manager and now, you know, you're being asked to use the analytics. And as we know, you know, Tony is, you know, an old school type of guy that, you know, the current crop of managers, the big word is collaborate. Everybody collaborates with the front office and the analytics people to make group decisions. Obviously, you know, that would have to be something where, you know, Tony's not used to doing that. But I don't know. Back to your question about the bench coach. You know, to me, the if this were to even work with Tony, and, you know, and who knows, maybe I know there's some other hot names out there. A.J. Hinch is very well thought of, despite coming off a year suspension that'll end when the World Series is done. But I think given Tony in the I know his age, 76, I think he's a young 76, but still, it's a young team, obviously. I don't have to tell you or anybody listening in the great city of Chicago that, you know, it's a young team, and there's certainly going to be questions whether it's La Russa or anybody in their 70s is going to connect with these players that are in their 20s. I mean, I think the one way, and if this is even to work, and I think the interview, the discussion, whatever you want to call it, there's going to be a lot of those that happen internally with the White Sox over the next week, 2 weeks, however long it takes. But I do think part of those conversations would, to me,
need to be, as a nod to the age of Tony and his credentials, but also his old schoolness. To me, the bench coach would need to be a young guy that can relate with the young players. And whether that's a situation where they come up with an apprentice manager, a guy that's a bench coach that's going to take over when Tony, if Tony's hired, however long he stays, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, a guy that would take over after Tony leaves or not. I don't know if you'd want to get into that, but I do think you would need to construct the coaching staff in a way that works not only for Tony, but in a way that works for those 20-year-old prospects. Great. Well, they're not prospects anymore. I mean, they're, great young talents that, that they can communicate with.
This is Joe Ostrowski with Scott Miller, Bleacher Report, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Scott, do you think Hinch and or Cora are going to get jobs, the managerial jobs this offseason?
I do. I think I would not be surprised if the Red Sox rehire Cora. They love him there. The players love him. I'm not necessarily making a prediction saying that's going to happen, but I'm just saying I won't be surprised if it happens. AJ Hinch, I think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt because I think he's really well liked in the game. He's well respected in the game. And I think the benefit of the doubt is going to come in where you look at it and teams are going to say the toxicity in Houston mostly was from the front office, Jeff Luhnow and his crew. And I think guys are going to say, look, AJ, he wasn't the architect of that. Now I know at his press conference, but after the firing and the suspension, he sat down with Tom Verducci of MLB Network, and he said he didn't know anything about it. And then once he found out about the trash can banging and the computer monitor they had, remember AJ said he went down with a baseball bat two or three times and smashed it to show his disapproval. That sounds good, but if you're the manager of the team, you need to have more controls. If you really truly disapprove of it, you need to lay down the law. Unless it was just everything was so run by Jeff Luhnow that AJ, even as the manager, didn't have power. And that brings us back to the current crops of managers that collaborate with the front office who oftentimes run things.
Scott, I think you're in San Diego covering the number one story in all of sports right now, at least in my world as a baseball fan, and it's not even close. What we might be watching with an MVP, six-time All-Star, ALCS MVP, three-time batting title winner, Jose Altuve, does he have the yips?
It sure looks like it. This is a guy who's made three throwing errors in the last two days. He had zero throwing errors the entire season. And, when it happened once, it's like, wow, that was unusual. It was on a throw to first base. Now, the thing that makes it a little difficult, these aren't necessarily easy throws. The first two throws, throwing errors, Altuve, can't have come when the Astros have been in a defensive shift and Altuve's been playing on the grass in right field. So it's been kind of, the first two errors were to first base. They were long throws. They weren't just from the infield dirt at second, but from the grass. And then the third error, he was trying to throw to second base. But the one yesterday to Correa, that was so bad. You probably, I'm sure, have seen the video. It skipped so far in front of Correa. And for Dusty Baker to bring it up, not last night, but two nights ago after the two-error game, Dusty said something about the yips in the post-game press conference, which I was like, whoa, that's, oftentimes people will try to avoid the subject. Dusty brought it up after the first two errors. I think sitting here watching the Astros and Altuve's reactions, I think it's pretty clear he does. It has reached a point where, not that there's any fans in the ballpark here, but the media and those guys I'm sitting with or nearby, when the ball's hit to Altuve, like you almost cringe, when there's a ground ball to him now after what's been happening, you're on high alert for if the ball's going to be hit to him or not. So
Yeah, it's like watching a slow motion auto accident, and I don't know. I mean, yesterday I thought there's no way they can put Altuve at second base. A couple of us were talking, said think he has to DH in game four. But Dusty right. said after game last night, he was asked that question directly, and he said, look, he said, I'm going to put him back out of there second base because if I didn't play him there, he said it would hurt us and it would kill him. So, we've got the lineup is in, and Altuve is batting third and playing second base today. So there you go.
Wow, season on the line there. Okay, so yeah. We've got game four tonight, Glasnow against Greinke. Man, Glasnow is such a treat to watch every single game. He's been just rolling, for not just in the playoffs, for a long period of time, for much of this season. Is it going to be a clean sweep here tonight?
You know, you get that feeling. Whenever a team goes up 3-0, it seems like you always get that feeling like, you know what, this thing's ending tonight. Now, we're going to find out what Houston's made of. You know, they've been through a lot this year, obviously. The cheating scandal starting in spring training back in February before we knew back in the good old days before there was such a thing as a pandemic. The Astros were deflecting questions from media. You know, their own colleagues with other teams were ripping them. They have to be emotionally drained after what they've gone through this year. Now to be down 3-0, if I had to make a prediction, that's a dangerous business. I would say I think the Astros, they got to be throwing up their hands saying, we hit the ball everywhere. The Rays are catching it everywhere. What else can we do? But, you know, you also have to remember, this is a proud team. It's a talented team. So, you know, maybe they sneak one out, but they look completely obliterated. As you mentioned, Glasnow's on the hill tonight. He looked great against the Yankees in two appearances last week. So I'm going to say sweep ends tonight.
Scott, are the Major League Baseball executives just hoping and praying that we're not talking about the Braves and Rays in the Fall Classic?
Yeah, well, I don't know about the executives, but I think the TV people probably are. The TV executives, I'm sure, are thinking that. I mean, can you imagine the drama on television if the Astros were to get past the Rays and the Dodgers beat the Braves and it's an Astros-Dodgers rematch with all that bad blood there?
Sign me up.
Nobody's going to – yeah. I mean, I guarantee you that's what the TV people are rooting for, but it doesn't look like it. You know, they very well might get the Braves and the Rays. And if that's the case, I think the TV ratings will be really high in the southeastern part of our country. And I don't know elsewhere, it'll be hardcore baseball fans watching, and the casual fans will probably figure something else out.
Scott Miller, national MLB columnist for Bleacher Report and Turner Sports. Scott, thank you so much for your time tonight on The Score.
My pleasure, Joe. Thank you.
Good stuff there from Scott Miller. He is out in San Diego covering the ALCS. I wasn't joking just because he's there covering it. I think we're in the middle of an NFL and college football season, and the number one story in sports to me is what is going on with Altuve. And many believe that just getting busted for the cheating, and remember, getting busted with all the videos that we've seen, him wearing the buzzer, no, don't rip my jersey off, I don't want my wife to see me on television without my shirt. No, he was in the heart of it. He was involved, and he's got the thing. Dusty's talking about it a couple of games ago, as Scott mentioned. Fascinating, just fascinating. A lot I want to get to, including some Bears-Panthers stuff. 720 Evan Silva, my buddy who does a great job covering the National Football League, will drop by. This is the Joe O Show, 670 The Score on the Radio.com app. Joe O Show, Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So news out of Hallis Hall today. Matt Nagy told the media that offensive line coach Juan Castillo is not at the facility. He came in contact with someone, not with the team, that tested positive for COVID-19. So here's Nagy talking to the media today.
Just to start off, in regards to, as a precaution, I just wanted to make everybody here aware that Coach Juan Castillo is going to be away from the facility and in-person contact with the team through Sunday. He's not going to travel to Carolina. He's still going to be in our Zoom meetings all week, and we have a plan. We're confident without him being there. It's completely unrelated to Bedard's situation. Juan had a close contact away from the facility, test positive yesterday, so he's considered high risk. And we're just trying to be overly cautious to quarantine him through Sunday, through the guidance of the NFL and our medical experts. And then credit to him, to his credit, it was self-reported, which, obviously is, in these times, a selfless act. So I'm sure you guys noticed that he wasn't out there, and I just wanted to be able to give you the information on that.
So that's Matt Nagy meeting with the media. Juan Castillo not around the team. He's not traveling this week. And this also comes on the day where we find out that they have officially placed left guard James Daniels on injured reserve. We were a little worried after seeing the injury and hearing what the Bears head coach had to say after Thursday's win over the Bucks, 20-19. But that's the deal. I mean, that's a big loss. I know we're talking about an interior offensive lineman. A lot of people say it's not that much of an impact, but I hope they don't lose another one. And that's one of the best offensive linemen they have, a unit that is not very strong. They'll lead you to believe that, oh, well, we don't have a run game. We don't stick with the run because, well, we can't get a run game going. Well, part of the reason is they don't have a great offensive line. So something to watch. They lose another one, you've really got to be concerned here. It's not great news. So it's a fascinating matchup what we have with Bears-Panthers. And we also got news late this afternoon, right before my show went on the air, about a high-profile college football coach testing positive for coronavirus. I want to share my thoughts on this because, I was near a college campus this weekend, and we can do a countdown to the start of the Big Ten season, but I'm seeing more and more games getting postponed at a rapid pace. So I don't know how long it's going to take to get through this college football season, since it's all about every TV dollar they can grab. They seem hell-bent on getting through it, but it might take a lot longer than many people expect. Keep pushing back those conference championship games if we even get that far. Joe Osho, 670 The Score, and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.